As the first princess of Pixar, which up until that point had been mainly known for making what they call the boy movies, Merida didn't quite fit the mold. I mean, she was a princess, but I guess she was sort of more of a tomboy. She wore her hair all wild, and she much more preferred going out and hunting with a bow than she ever thought about being a princess. And so, you know, this caused an issue. Her and her mom were at odds. They were kind of arguing because mom understood it was her job to help Merida know what it meant to be a princess. She had to make sure Merida understood all of the culture that went into it and what it meant to be a leader. And to be quite frankly honest, well, Merida thought her mom was unbearable. That is, until a foolish wish and a little Disney magic transforms mom into a literal bear. And for the rest of the movie, Merida had to figure out how to fix the tie between her and mom. And what she really needed to figure out is just how valuable mom was in her instruction. I read an article by Michael Minton that wrote about mom's value to her family in a monetary matter. Moms carry a lot of different roles in our families. Chauffeur, gardener, family counselor, also known as the referee, maintenance worker, cleaning woman, housekeeper, cook, errand runner, bookkeeper, interior decorator, caterer, dietitian, secretary, hostess, you name it. It was Minton's belief that if we sat down and tried to establish a monetary value for mom in the house, it would come up to $985 a week or $51,220 annually that mom should earn just for the job that she's doing. And that all sounds good, but you know what? Add to that that the pressure of being a mom in today's culture, our hyperactive society where we're always on the go and always on the move, well, it's gotten even worse. Because now not only are moms moms, they also have to have a successful career. They have to deal with bigger houses and more things to do there. We expect them to raise the perfect children, to be a great cook, and you know what? On the side, we want them to look like a supermodel. That's the pressure that we keep putting on it. But the funny thing is this pressure that mom feels, well, it's nothing new. If you just go back and you look at Scripture, mom has always had a pressure-filled society. Just think about it. Wasn't it Eve that got blamed for the first sin? Even though we know it wasn't. It was Eve that had to deal with the stress of having one child kill the other. Hagar, well, she fathered a child via Abraham. And well, that child wasn't accepted. Jochebed, I don't pronounce that right, but I know that's a name that we're not familiar with. But that is Moses' mom, who had to deal with hiding her son, afraid that he was going to get killed, putting him in a basket and giving him away. And then we have Mary. Could you imagine the stress she was under, the pressure that she had, raising the very Son of God and knowing about it from day one? Having to be there for all of the trial, the execution. Being a mom, it's a real tough job. And ladies, I'm sure you can sit there and say, yeah, we know. Been there, done that, and we probably have a few t-shirts that have been given to us over the years. But today I want to focus on not a sermon about how to be a good mom. I want to stay with the theme that we've been working on. Faceless book. Now, if you're visiting with us this morning, let me just kind of catch up on what we're doing. This series is about the faceless people in the Bible. So there are people all throughout Scripture. They don't have a name. We couldn't pick them out of a crowd. We couldn't do anything with them. They're just faceless people. But no matter what, these people had a meeting with Jesus, a connection with Christ that changed their life. And this morning, we're going to talk about the faceless mom. You'll find her story in Matthew chapter 15. Let me read it to you. If you have a copy of God's Word, you can turn that way. If not, there's a Bible right there in the pew rack in front of you. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. This is her story. Leaving the place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him and cried out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on my daughter. Is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. And we've kind of characterized these faceless people. First of all, remember, we stopped first by the well, and we looked at the woman that was there, and we looked at the face of regret, dealing with our past. And then last week, we stopped and we looked at the woman that was suffering from bleeding, and well, we characterized her as the face of desperation. And well, this woman, I see the face of determination. We like this idea of determination and who we are. As a matter of fact, don't we sing about the little ant that can move the rubber tree plant? We tell stories about the little engine that could just because he pulled it up over the mountain. I think I can. In our movies, we love to root for the underdog. Come on, how many times have you really seen Rocky punch that side of beef? We just love this idea of determination. So this morning I want to take a look at this mom and I want to figure out what it is that God sees in her that makes him characterize her faith by these, her character by these four simple words. Woman, you have great faith. And I'm sure when he said that, the people around were like, "Well, what do you mean she has great faith?" Well, you have to understand, this is a pretty high compliment coming from Jesus. Because, well, Jesus, he was always looking for faith. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10 says, "When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those that followed him, 'Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith.'" He's always looking for faith. And you know, it didn't have to be this monstrous faith. Jesus just required a little bit of faith. What we see in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. He replied, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to be there.' And it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Just a little bit of faith. And while Jesus usually looking for faith and was only looking for a little bit of faith, you know what he found? He found a very little faith. See, he handed out this compliment to the lady, "Woman, you have great faith." But think about his apostles. They were afraid of a storm, even though Jesus was right in the boat with them. They whined about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. Never once, when you're reading through the scriptures, did Jesus ever look at James, John, Peter, Andrew, Matthew, all of them, and said, "You have great faith." As a matter of fact, usually when he looked at those people, he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." So here we have mom, this nameless, faceless mom, and Jesus says, "You have great faith." And so I want to know, what did she do that allowed God to say this? What did she do to deserve this particular compliment? And I want to start with, she crossed some great barriers. The very fact that she was a woman says much about this lady. See, we've talked about this the last 2 weeks, and the culture that she's living in, what she's doing is unheard of. She is addressing a male in a public environment, and Jesus was a rabbi. And there was already a group of people, and this is not something that women were permitted to do in that culture. But she was determined. So she set aside that particular part of culture and she crossed over it. And not only was she a woman, she was a Gentile. Now this was a big deal because we know that Jews and Gentiles, well, they didn't really mix. It was a cultural thing that the Jews and the Gentiles, they didn't kind of hang out at the same parties. They didn't go to the same places. And so this woman then was now coming, and she was a Gentile. And not only was she a Gentile, but she was a Canaanite. Now maybe that "ite" doesn't mean very much to you, but if you read through the Old Testament, you'll find out very quickly that Canaanites and Israelites, well, they were kind of sworn enemies. They were kind of like the Hatfields and the McCoys. They were always at odds with one another, and they were always bickering and having wars, and there was always infighting going on between the Israelites and the Canaanites. And so here was this woman that, well, she was a woman. She was a Gentile, and she was kind of like the sworn enemy of the Israelites. And here she was. She was crossing all of these barriers because she was a mom and she wanted something from Jesus. This is how we pick up the story in verse 23. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him to send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. Could you imagine what that felt like? She came and looking for Jesus, and she's sitting there crying out to Jesus, and Jesus basically gives her the cold shoulder. Jesus doesn't even acknowledge, and this is the second thing that this woman does. Well, she persists. She refuses to give up on this. She has to persist against the silence of Jesus. She has to persist against the rebuke of the disciples. Do you ever feel like this woman? I mean, there's something in your life that's not going right, and you pray to God, and you pray to God, and you pray to God, and you swear you're just getting God's holy answering machine. Man, you're just not getting an answer. And then you go and you tell your Christian brothers and sisters about it, and you're expecting some encouragement, and then they start telling you everything is wrong with your life and why you shouldn't be asking for this from God. We do this. But this woman, she persisted. As a matter of fact, not only did she persist against all that, take a look at verse 24 and 26. But Jesus finally does open his mouth. Pay close attention to what he says. He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right for me to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Now let's be honest, in our Americanized culture, if we had gone and we had sought help from a religious church person, and after that we had given that, poured out our heart and made our petition, he looked at us and said, "You know what, I don't deal with dogs." We'd be done, wouldn't we? We'd be offended. We would probably say, "You know what? I don't need this anymore. I can just go get that anywhere." But this woman wouldn't give up. See, because she understood that what grace meant. She was looking for something, and she didn't make any claim. Is the other thing we see from this woman. This is what she says in verse 27. "Yes, it is, Lord." She said, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Let that statement circulate through your brain for a second. See, Jesus had made an analogy. He looked at this Canaanite woman who was sitting at was calling out to his table and said, "Hey, look, Jesus, help my daughter. She's demon-possessed. Jesus, come and help me." And Jesus looks at her and he says, "You know what? I was sent here for these people, not for you. And it wouldn't be right to take from these people and give it to you." And he used the analogy, it would be not right to take from the children's table and for the master to give it to the dog. Instead of going away offended, look at the determination this lady has. She takes Jesus' own analogy and she does something amazing with it. She looks at Jesus and she said, "You know what? I understand your analogy. Let me humble myself for you. Because you know what? I'll admit it. In your analogy, I'm the dog." And then she looks at him and she says, "You know what? I'll do something better. I'll acknowledge you're the master. You're the Lord." That's amazing. Because like I said, most of us would just go home offended at this point. What determination. And I have to ask, what is it about this lady that maybe gave her that much determination that she was willing to take an insult and turn around into another plea for help? And I have to believe she understood what grace was. She understood that she had no right for what she was asking. She had never made any attempt before this to have a relationship with Jesus. She had never had any religious experience that would be considered Jewish. As a matter of fact, she had probably said some disparaging things in her past about the Jewish people. But you know what? When push came to shove and everything was on the line, she was willing to take all of her differences and all of her background and all of her culture and all of her family, and she put it all on the back burner because she understood what grace was. God, I need you to do something amazing in my life, and you're the only choice I've got. That's amazing. That's determination. And then Jesus looked at this, and I forgot to flip my slide so you can fill in your blanks. So I hope you got your blanks filled in. If not, I'll give you a second. She humbled herself. She acknowledged Him as Lord. And then she understood grace. That was the three little blanks I know you were trying to fill in. I've lost half the people trying to fill in the notes here. That's okay. But I have to wonder this question. What pushed her? We see this lady and what pushed her. And we don't have to really think hard. What pushed her? It was her daughter. Her daughter had this disease, this ailment. We don't know how this demon thing had impacted her daughter's life. Maybe she was sick. Maybe she was uncontrollable. Maybe she was just way too hyper. I don't know what it was, but it says that her daughter was terribly ill. We don't know whether it was mental or physical. But you know, I got a feeling that there were some other alternatives to this lady. Maybe she could have taken her daughter to one of the other temples. She could have surely taken her daughter to one of the Canaanite temples and had that God look at her. But something pushed this lady toward Jesus. And I think it starts with the word we talked about last week. Desperation. See, I got a sneaking suspicion that she had already tried all of this. See, I can say this because I've dealt with sick kids before. I've dealt with a really sick kid. And you know what? You can get very desperate sometimes. You can get desperate to try anything that will help. And I got a feeling this woman had tried this. And she was very desperate for what she was looking for, and she heard the rumors. You think it wasn't circulating through Israel? All the things that Jesus had done, all the miracles that He was working. And she finally had said, you know what? I've tried it all. Let's just try Jesus. That's desperation. And then she came there out of love. Let's be honest. If that little girl wasn't at home suffering so much, and that insult of being called a dog was hurled at you, I got a feeling she went home. But see, she was first and foremost a mom. And moms think differently. It's interesting that Merida turned her mom into a literal bear, because you know the old saying, you never want to get between a bear and her cubs. Because if you get between a bear and her cubs, you're not going to fare very well. See, even in the animal kingdom, moms carry some kind of weight with them. But in our society, there is nothing more precious than watching a mom and her love for a child. You can see it from the moment that child comes into the world. I mean, dads are there. And dads love that little child, but there is nothing like a mother's love. I mean, when they get hurt outside, who do they call to? They don't usually say, hey, dad. Mom! It's when they need money, they call dad. But when they're hurt, mom! When things are going wrong, mom! Because there's just nothing like a mother's love. And this woman had dedicated her love, and she was not going to be turned away. She knew she needed something for her daughter. She possessed vision. It's funny, she saw in Jesus what nobody else could see. I think we're like that as a church sometimes. We come to church all the time and we sit here and we hear the lessons and we turn the pages and we do the scripture thing, and sometimes we just lose our vision a little bit. But from the outside in, this woman looked and she saw in Jesus something nobody else could see. She saw hope. She saw power. She saw ability. She saw more in Jesus than the people that were following him did. And she was determined to take part in that. And it worked. Just like the woman by the well received a resolve from her past, and just like the woman suffering from bleeding received healing. Listen to what Jesus said. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Now I want to pause for a second because the picture just changed. See, usually when you see the pictures on the internet of this story, you see mom and she's there all by herself pleading to Jesus. Think about what that verse said. It said her daughter was healed at that moment. Really? Do you know what that probably meant, didn't you? It means that mom probably brought daughter with her. It meant that mom, for whatever the situation was, had coddled this girl. We don't know how old she was, and she had brought her there before Jesus. And she was making her plea while she was holding daughter in hand. Or maybe keeping daughter in tow, because we don't know the situation. That's incredible. That takes determination. I mean, at our house, it's all we can do sometimes to get two kids ready and get them in a van and get here to church before time so we can be where we're supposed to be. But this woman had gone the extra distance. And Jesus related it to the idea of faith. So let me ask you something. How great is your faith? Is your faith as great as this woman's? Is your faith great enough to look at the situation that you have at hand, whatever it is, whether it's financial, whether it's family, whether it's physical pain, whether it's illness, whatever the situation is your faith great enough for you to bundle all that together and bring it to God? Now, I want to tell you, we're good at that as church people. You can put out a prayer request and people say, yeah, I'll put my name on the prayer list, I'll bundle it up and I'll bring it to God. But here's the question. Is your faith great enough to, after you bundle it up and you bring it to God and you lay it before God, is your faith great enough for you to stand right there at Jesus' feet until God answers it? Because you know how we usually do it, right? We bundle it up and bring it to God and we sit there and we're like, okay, God, I need this. No, I don't have an answer. I'll be back. I go try something else. And off we go. This woman was characterized as having great faith because this woman was determined to include God in her problem. That's what Jesus saw in her. That's why Jesus gave her this tremendous compliment. Woman, you have great faith because I'm the only thing you're seeking at this point. Let me encourage you. Moms, even if your kids are all grown, you realize they're never all grown, right? Let me encourage you. Don't give up on your kids. Keep bundling them and keep bringing them back before God. Sometimes it will have to be unwillingly. Be determined. Dads, that goes for us as well. We should be right there with them, bringing our families back before God. That's the essence of what this lady did. Let me encourage you to do that. We are going to do a time of decision this morning, and it's going to be kind of the same decision we offer every week. It's a decision where if you're here today and you know what, you've never met this Jesus. You've never had that great faith. You've never had any essence of faith in your life. Let me encourage you. Come on forward. Just like this lady, you can bring your busted, broken, messed up, confused life, and we can lay it right before the feet of Jesus and do exactly what He wants us to do with it. Give it to Him. Of course, maybe you're here today and it goes a little deeper than that. Not only have you never accepted Christ, you've accepted Christ, but you know what? You're just not living it. You're not living a very determined life. Maybe today is the day that you turn your determination around. You make Him the focal point and the priority of what you're doing, not the secondary resource. We forget that so very often. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing. Will you please stand?